Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it, Monday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You still dehydrated from Sunday morning? Tears? Too much to drink? Screams? Is your voice back? Let's get into it. Therapy Monday, Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776-466-3776-800-825-5865. I'm choking on an ice cube here. It's an energy drink. It's not it's not 5 o'clock somewhere yet. Colton Stone is here. We are loaded up. We have room for you. If you want to vent, get off your chest, commiserate, do what you need to do. Maybe you've moved on like Nebraska and it's already Northwestern week. We had a great time. Despite the game and loss on Real Red Reaction late Saturday night, 466-377-6800-825-5865, numbers to get in. If you can't dial up, you want to email, go for it, chris@halevarsity.com. And find us on Twitter, Chris Schmidt, that's me, at Schmidt underscore radio, or Colton Stone, two birds, one stone. We'll get you qualified for Nebraska Northwestern tickets and another rendition of the longest drive down to the graduate Friday. So let's talk. Let's get into Nebraska. Let's get into the hell that was Saturday night, 48-7. Okay, here's the first question I've got, and we can talk this out. I want to know if you're part of the fan base that thought Nebraska was beyond embarrassment. And if you are, that's okay. But did you think Nebraska was beyond embarrassment in year two? Excuse me. In game five in year two. And I ask that sincerely. I'm not being snarky. Once Colorado happened, once Illinois happened, this was a very real possibility, and you had to brace yourself for, I don't even know if this was, I mean, if this was worst case scenario, but it was damn near because of your turnovers. You're down 14-0 before you can blink, and it's 17 rip, and it just keep, it's a snowball. And it's, listen, and it's not a, and I'm going to say this, it's not a Pelini snowball and it's not a Riley snowball. Okay? It's not. This is just part of growing pains. You don't want to hear it because some of you thought because Scott Frost has come back, two claps and you're
right,
undefeated in year two because he did it before. Listen, I know that doing what he did at Central Florida was impressive, and it gives you hope of a quick turnaround. And listen, man, I'm the one who was saying, you know, 9 to 10 wins is possible. I didn't know how, and I'm supposed to know this, but I was wrong about just where the offensive line's at. Is the defense better? Yeah, but no one's going to be better against that Ohio State offense. Context is where I'm going with this. And in the context of where the hell's Ohio State in the landscape of college football? They're at Frank and Dean and Sammy Davis Jr.'s table, okay? Period. Or they're, let's make this modern era. They're sitting with, they're sitting with the Kardashians. Some of you may hate the Kardashians, but their tables are expensive, is my point.
Yes.
Okay? So that's just a fact of life right now. And I'm ready to puke. It's okay to question. And it's okay to, as a fan, go, Adrian, I get it. Mm-hmm. But do you realize what he's going through? And do you realize who his head coach is? The calls for going to the bullpen or outright benching Adrian Martinez, it ain't going to get any better. It's going to get worse if you go to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And I roll my eyes at it, and we can agree to disagree because there's a lot. Even my father's like, well, what the hell's going on? I'm like, look, dude. It is apples and oranges, not just Ohio State to Nebraska. It's apples and oranges 2018 Nebraska to 2019 Nebraska. It just is. Mm-hmm. Running game, options at receiver, offensive line. It just is. They're working to get better. They're going to have to play their ass off Saturday to beat Northwestern. What's the worst thing you can have in college football? Well, it's Ohio State focused and ready to murder somebody. The second worst thing is a 1-3 Pat Fitzgerald team rolling in after you got stomped by Ohio State. It is an absolute test. It's kind of like Notre Dame's situation where they're playing Virginia this week after a great effort. Mm-hmm. But back to the original question, did you think Nebraska was beyond embarrassment in year two? And, you know, based on what I saw two of the last 3 weeks, no. If you're real honest with yourself, this ass-kicking was coming down the pike. It just was. If Ohio State played their best game and Nebraska played what they'd been doing, which is stepping on themselves, this is where it went. And do you blame Adrian for all of it? You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. Because while the guy needs to play better and be more decisive, the guy is seeing ghosts. He is. The pass to Wandale after you went option football for 70 yards was sweet. I mean, the drive was great. Mm-hmm. And then you throw the pick after the old 20-second timeout because there's a run going on. Little NBA or college basketball move there by Ryan Day. But, man, I think Adrian's spooked. I don't think he's got a lot of help. And I think you got one guy that's not a tight end that can get open as a wide receiver. That's garbage. But that's where Nebraska's at. And they're going to work to get better.
Yeah, there's a few things I took away from the game. One being, and I was actually talking to my stepdad about Adrian yesterday.
Am I wrong? What's your take on it?
My main takeaway is that he's
getting rid of him. It's not going to be any better.
Right. He's thinking too much. And obviously, I don't know what the solution is because I'm not at that level, but
play better on the line and be better at wide receiver.
Right. He's thinking about the snap because it's still a new center. He's thinking about the entire offensive line, who's giving pressure on the defense. Like, there's just so many things. And then so by the time he actually has the ball in his hands, it's like, okay, well, what the hell do I do now? Because he's still thinking about all the other things.
Here's Chase to run me down.
Exactly.
25 dropbacks, 12 pressures. Mm-hmm. Okay? Period. You can't live like that. And if the guy wasn't as escapable and as mobile as he is, Colton, I mean, the guy's got a broken wrist or he's got more than, Nebraska has more than their second in the nation, 14 turnovers. I mean, he's played well enough to win in a lot of situations. He has not gotten help. It's a team game. Okay? Okuda is about the only dude that's going to make that pick. Period. And you found two of the three. If you didn't have bad luck, you'd have none at all if you're Nebraska right now. The setup, the buildup, and the letdown is very real. You had a great Friday and Saturday, and then Saturday night happened. And Ohio State's just that good. Is it acceptable? Did you think you were beyond a public flogging as a Nebraska fan? It'll get there someday. And you can be upset about getting rocked and be embarrassed about it. But guess what? The answer is going to the bullpen for a new and different quarterback for Northwestern. You got to work through this stuff. You just do. And you got to get better at center. You got to get better at left guard. You got to get better at right guard. You got to get better at right tackle. Mm-hmm. You got to get better defensively. Can't allow 8 yards per carry. And you got to get better at open field tackling. And some of your captains are guys that'll own up and say, yeah, we didn't have a good game, my bad. And they have. So what do you do about it? Well, you get pissed off and you go play Northwestern. And you tackle better. You put in a good week of practice. You don't let it destroy the year. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. That is the absolute difference here with Coach Frost. Did you get embarrassed? Yeah, you got beat up 48-7. In years past, with different staffs, this would have been your dagger, and it would have affected the rest of the season, especially 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Justin's on hold. Justin, thanks for calling in. Welcome into Hail Varsity. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good, man. What do you think?
Hey, I guess I totally agree with what you guys have been saying. I think Adrian Martinez is just pressing a little too much. I think he wants it too bad. Some of those throws just looks like he's maybe thinking too much. I think he's the guy we got to ride with. I mean, he's our best QB, the best one we got. And I was disappointed in the game. Looking back on it, I think Ohio State's probably
the best team in the country, man.
Best team in the country. I mean, they're very, very good. Their defense is stacked, and they've got a quarterback that's playing with no fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very good. And I think the most telling thing about this Husker team will be the next 2 to 3 weeks. How do we react to this game? I mean, if we, if we keep playing, if we turn around and play scared against Northwestern with our tail between our legs, then I might be a little bit more worried. But I mean, we went out there and we were just a little outmatched against Ohio State, and I think there's a lot of future in our program. I mean, our line is young. Our defense is young for the most part. I mean, we're playing a sophomore quarterback. I mean, there's a lot to be said about the age of our team. I mean, we've got a lot of time to grow for sure. And
Justin,
we've got the coaching staff that's going to make us do that.
Agree with you 1,000%. Absolutely. And you got worked by a playoff team. You just did. And what's it do to you is a question. Appreciate your phone call. Thanks for chiming in. Got a line open at 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Have you moved beyond where Nebraska's at on Saturday night? And if not, no worries. If you need to bitch and moan about it, we're here for you the next couple of hours. But I don't think going off on your quarterback is the answer. I think there's a lot of blame to go around, and he is the first to tell you, I got to be better. We are not members of the Adrian Martinez fan club. We're just calling it like we see it. I think he's a hell of a good quarterback. And this staff doesn't screw up their quarterbacks. They haven't. They haven't at Oregon. They didn't at Central Florida. Okay? It kind of comes to puzzle pieces around the guy you got right now. Same kid who threw for 2,700 yards last season. And it's an issue. Who do we got here? Forgive me.
Jim.
Jim, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Yeah, Schmitty, just a comment. It's obvious the talent level just, doesn't match up with Ohio State. But that's not the kids' fault. It took 15, 20 years to get there, right? And
yes.
Some of these kids are going to be excellent when they're done, but they're young, and you're absolutely right. You can't put that on the quarterback. I mean, it's football. If there's no time, I don't care if you're John Elway. It isn't going to make any difference.
Ask Elway how his freshman, sophomore, and junior season went at Stanford. It's called 4-8 and 5-7.
Absolutely. No, if anybody gets down on this team, it's they just don't realize that it took a long time for it to get where it is right now, and now it's starting to go on the positive side. So, golly, give them 2 or 3 years. They'll be just fine.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call, Jimbo. Appreciate you dialing in. Chris, going to sneak Chris in. Chris, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for squeezing me in here real quick. So anybody that's calling out Adrian Martinez, those idiot Husker fans, they need to take off their Tommy Frazier jerseys and get with what's actually going on here. This is a rebuild. Did we get led to believe this summer through the hype and some of the articles and things like that, that we were further along than we thought? than we actually are? Yeah, I was one of those people. But the bottom line is that we got destroyed on both sides of the scrimmage, offense and defense. And we're 2 years away from where we need to be up front. That's the fact.
You're 2 years away strength and conditioning. You're 2 years away with recruiting classes.
Absolutely. I mean, even the kids that, you know, so that we've had some commits, you know, some big name commits come in, you know, that's just a start. That's no depth, no nothing. That's no development. We're 2 years away from being able to compete at that level. And I will say that Ohio State, that's one of the best teams I've ever watched, period.
It's the best team I've seen since the 94 Colorado team at Memorial
Stadium.
That's
exactly what I'm saying. Like, they were that good.
They are. They're loaded, and they were the number two recruiting class in 2017. It's 2019. They've redshirted. They're pretty good. Chris, be good, and we'll see how things shake out Saturday. Thanks for calling.
Great.
Lines open for you, 466-377-6800-825-5865. If you disagree with the blame game here or what happened, it's okay. You can jump in here. We'll take your calls. We'll get to some recruiting. Greg Smith is coming up. If you get put on the hold by Colton, you better not tick him off. You better stay on hold. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, an hour away, we'll hear from the Pirate, Mike Leach, on why he hates his football team. Hold on. Why he hates some members of his football team. We're talking Nebraska and what happened against Ohio State. Room for you till 4:40. Greg Smith has been kind enough to reschedule. So open phones here another 15 minutes. And, you know, what is up with Nebraska? You know, blame has been the discussion point. And, you know, what are you blaming? And to me, it's you know, year two, right? It's year two. And it's not year two down in Orlando. It's year two in Lincoln. Terry, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Adrian's the guy. People just have to be patient. I mean, you know, once the line gets some more experience and stuff, we'll be fine. It's just the thing that hurts the most to me about this loss is Iowa fans just totally ripping on us on social media today, Twitter and the whole bit. It just sucks.
It is, and you know, my thought to you about Iowa fan is Nebraska will have their chance at the end of the season.
Yep.
To do something about it.
Yeah, and the season's not over. I mean, people need to just relax. I mean, I honestly thought that, you know, I just hope that we would have competed in this game. But, you know, I fully didn't expect us to win that game based on what I saw from Ohio State in their previous games, even though they didn't really play, you know, great teams. But, you know, they're gonna make the playoff. You know, I mean,
Terry, they could win the playoff. And let me say this about competing. Nebraska had no answers on the lines of scrimmage or at wide receiver or at defensive end or pick a spot. They had no answer. It's not like they quit. And that's, you know, you run into some fans, oh, I wish the effort was going to be better. And I get that. But this is a totally different effort than what you saw 2 years ago. Score was the same.
For sure. And 56, I'm not talking 40. About effort. Right. You know, I'm talking, you know, it's just
closer game.
You know, that they're just an awesome team, you know, and we're not where they are right now, and it's where we want to be is where they are. So, you know, they just, you know, keep working at it, and, you know, it'll get better. It just gets tiring of these fair weather fans that, you know, they get pissed off every time we get, you know, beat by a team that's better or whatever. And it's like, it's just it's tiring.
And that's where it's at. I mean, you know, you got to kind of check what Nebraska fan are you, unconditional, or are you going to light up this football team if they lose to a team that's going to play for a championship? Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you, Terry. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Now, if they come out and tackle horribly against Northwestern, if they miss assignments I'm not asking for a perfect game, but if they come out and look like they were going Stevie Wonder like they did against Illinois, I mean, get in line and get pissed about it. This thing is the equivalent of going down to take on one of Switzer's teams in the mid-70s, all right, and not crossing the 50. That happened because he had the first three picks in the NFL draft. And Barry'd probably tell you maybe someone had a payroll going. One more time, who we got?
Steve.
Steve, thanks for hanging. Go ahead.
Hey, what I was going to say, Chris, and I know we shouldn't bag on the previous regime, but if the way...
We can absolutely bag on the previous okay. regime.
But and you kind of said it with both our offensive and defensive lines. If the weightlifting and the conditioning was as lax as we're kind of led to believe, and, you know, we had Coach Riley for 3 years, you know, you're not going to make it
good
up
dude.
A year and a half.
Good dude, just not effective as a coach.
Yeah, it's going to take 3 years for us to make up for what wasn't done the last 3 years. So, you know, we can, you know, and like I said, Martinez, it's, geez, when you're running for your life because these guys are chasing after you, you're not going to look very good. So, you know, but just hope things are better in the next 2 weeks. I think there are teams that we should match up with. If we get beat by three touchdowns by Northwestern or Minnesota, then we probably do got some problems. I don't think that's going to happen.
Appreciate the phone call, Steve. Good stuff.
Yeah.
More time for you here, 466-377-6800-825-5865. And Ohio State's going to do what they did Saturday to a lot of people. They're going to do it to most of the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Don't kid yourself. As good as Wisconsin has looked, and they looked mortal last Saturday against Northwestern, they got to go to Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And that could get ugly, especially with the turnover factor. And that's been an issue. We'll get to Larry in just a second. Go ahead, Colton.
Yeah, I guess my main thing with, like, the end result of this Ohio State game is I'm not surprised by the score as much as I am maybe by the complete mismatch. I didn't think it would be like an utter mismatch between like the lines of scrimmage. I thought maybe there'd
be... You're talking Billy Madison and dodgeball mismatch.
Right. And I think it's just, it's one of those that they're just so much better that you don't really know until they play you. You're like, yeah, they look great, but how good are they? And then they do it against you and you're like, that's how good they are. Yeah, I think that's just it was just a case of not surprise, but oh no, they actually are that good.
They're good. And if they play at that level, they're gonna beat everybody they face or be in championship contention. Larry, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Very good. Thanks for the chance. Just to reiterate, I think a lot of our problems are offensive line play, and certainly Adrian isn't comfortable, and that forces him into some things that maybe he doesn't want to do. But my question is, in modern-day offensive line play, do we just hope for a stalemate, or do we do like years ago where you try and get under the defensive lineman's pad and drive him back? And which is it? Our linemen can't do that, or simply don't know who to block? Sometimes you look pretty confused up there, please.
Larry, appreciate the call. I think there is confusion. I think that's part of the learning curve you've got that is a reality with a redshirt freshman at center and at left guard. And those kids will be good players. And they've had good moments. It just wasn't Saturday night. And you can ask the Zadiskas of the world, the Wiegerts of the world, the Styes of the world, you know, how long it takes you to get ready to rock and roll on the offensive line. And that's with lots of reps in practice. You're going to be getting that now. And let's bring on Andy and see joins us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Still a line open at 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Andy, go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty, Uncle Andy.
What's up, man?
Hey.
Are my dogs running away?
I haven't talked to you since the game, but I just wanted to...
Are the dogs running away? Are the dogs running away?
No, the dogs are actually they're in the yard. I just drove past your house,
okay,
actually.
Good. Throw them some chocolate.
Yeah, you know, so I watched the game in the stands, wanted to drink my sorrows away after the game, but, you know, everything I've been hearing from everybody so far today is kind of bringing it back. You know, Ohio State was just that good.
Yes.
You know, I thought we'd hang in with them a little bit better than that. We had a couple drives that were setting up, and I think, you know, you don't have three turnovers on Martinez to start the game off, and I think we're going to be right in that game. But I think we got in our heads. I think Ohio State is going to just roll everybody that they see. I just hope that we can put up a better thing against the next 2 weeks, because the Big Ten West is still up for grabs, and it's there. So,
good stuff, Andy. Appreciate you. I'll be over. Pour me one of your IPAs, okay?
All right, man. Sounds good. Later.
There he is. Listen. Yeah, I mean, Nebraska got worked by a better opponent. Turnovers are a problem. You have some panic with your quarterback, but he's still the guy you ride. And last thought on this quarterback thing, with Scott Frost is a guy who's lived it and understands it, because he got pulled for Frankie London, and he heard the boos. The one thing you don't want is to have your quarterback, who's already running for his life or waiting for people to get open, or maybe he's going to be able to hand off to his eye back, who may or may not be dinged, okay? The last thing you want to do that's already fragile is jerk with the quarterback's confidence.
Right, exactly.
You've already got a confidence on, is this play going to work because of who you played Saturday night? You're not going to yank the guy, go to the bullpen, realize, oh, you know, the guys behind him, they're really not ready, or they're not as talented at this point in their career. So the answer isn't to go to them, because it goes from bad to worse, and that's not a shot at Mac or Noah. They're good kids. They're talented people. But Adrian's your guy, and he's already experienced it.
Well,
he's just got to get a better supporting cast, and he's got to be better himself.
Yeah, and I maybe not a direct parallel here, but I kind of said this about Washington with Dwayne Haskins. I'd rather take the lumps and get the guy that needs the reps, than take a guy and have either false optimism or like, this might work. Who knows? I'd rather take the lumps.
It's not a quick fix, is there?
Right. No, you can't just, yeah, exactly.
You got a bad head coach in Washington.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. But I just mean by position. That's kind of where I look at it.
All right, who's with us here?
We've got Tom.
Tom, thanks for hanging. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, thanks a lot, Schmitty. Speaking of Switzer, I remember watching that 73 Oklahoma game. That was just about as ugly as I've ever seen up to that time. I think that
I'll take your word for it. I bet it was awful.
Oh, Lucius Ellman, meet our new center at 190 pounds, Rick Bonas.
Yeah,
don't throw him around like a paperweight. I think one of the problems is this whole team, especially on the lines, they're entering their sophomore years as far as the strength and conditioning goes. I mean, these other schools, Ohio State's got a new coach, of course, but I'm guessing they're strength and conditioning has maintained or stayed the same, and that's basically it in a nutshell. Give us another couple years with the same guys, and another 10 or 15% would make a heck of a difference.
Well, and don't forget, Chase was playing behind the Boses, right? I mean,
yes,
that's a fact. Tom, appreciate the call, brother. Thanks for chiming in. We'll check in with the guy who's plugged in to some of those recruits. The who's who on hand to watch. What's the fallout from it? Got room for you. 466-377-6800-825-5865. This doesn't ruin the season. Ruins your mood and maybe a spill to drink. I get it. You had plenty more games to go. Hail Varsity continues.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
More your calls. Let's get to some recruiting. It's Greg Smith time from HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, the fallout from Saturday night is what in the world of recruiting? I know Nebraska's already got a recruit in Prohaska.
Yeah, so far it doesn't feel like the fallout has been all that bad, to be totally honest. Like, it's really been, and I'm going to write about this here in a bit for the notebook tonight, is that the message that Scott Frost put to everyone after the game, that they're still building this thing, and in a couple of years they'll be where Ohio State is now, that seems to be the message that has resonated with recruits, because I've heard a version of that for the last couple of days here since that game happened.
And you know, you look at Nebraska fans, some that are irate that you got embarrassed again on national TV are going to pull the old Charlie Brown's teacher, you know? I mean, it's just noise. But if you know football, Dabo Swinney is the example to me with what he inherited versus what he had to build, and look where he's at now. It just takes some time, and you know what Nebraska football was and what it's been brought to its knees the last few seasons. And you've had constant turnover. You've got some stability now. How did Coach Frost connect with some of the kids? Who have you had a chance to get caught up with, and what's the response been?
Yeah, so I've talked to a handful of kids that were here for officials. Caden Johnson, one of the ones that I spoke with, who said he had a great talk with Coach Frost, and Coach Frost basically expressed to him that they needed more players like him, and they needed especially an outside linebacker like him to come in and help turn this thing around. And I think that the pitch that is resonating with a lot of guys is, hey, you can see that we're improving, even though that game did not go the way that we wanted. Our season has started off better than it had last year, and we'll continue to get better throughout the season. We just need more of you guys to come in here and help get this thing turned around. All of the commits that I've spoken with, Sevion Morrison, Blaze Gunnarsson, Turner Corcoran, those guys have all basically said that we're still really excited about where this thing is going with Nebraska. We can't wait to get there. We're building a bond with our class in 2020. It's been interesting to see the reaction from prospects and commits versus what some in the fan base have had. And I know that there's been a huge fallout in the fan base, but it feels like in a lot of ways these prospects are taking things all in stride, knowing where Nebraska is in year two.
Greg Smith is with us. We're talking recruiting, some reaction to the recruits by the recruits on Saturday night. And you wonder, like, what is that going to do? 48-7 is a bad look. It's a worse look when it's the national game of the night on ABC. But you had game day. You have energy. You had 80% of the stands still full when that final gun went off. And from a culture standpoint, you saw guys, you know, trying to fight back and push back. Those are all positives, and I know the result was what it was. Let's go to Ohio State for a minute. I mean, this is – we talk about remnants and hurricanes. This is this team you saw last night – or I should say Saturday night, they were remnants of the number two recruiting class in the country. I mean, that's the 2017 number two recruiting class with Chase trying to murder your quarterback or – the number four pick overall, according to Mel Kiper and his comb-over, Okuda. I mean, they're loaded at every level. That's just the defense we're talking about. We're not talking about Dobbins or Hill or the offensive tackles that they've got. I mean, Ohio State's as good a team as it's been in Lincoln in 30 years.
Yeah, and I think that now that we're a couple of days away from this game, and even as we, you know, continue to move on throughout the week, I think that people are going to come around to that a little bit more. And I know that it sucks to hear that right away after the game, because even, and I even said this on Twitter, is that even though Ohio State was significantly more talented than Nebraska, and they were playing at a much crisper and more consistent level, you don't want the games to look like that, right, in any way. But that Ohio State team is a legitimate national championship contending team. Like, that team, I would be like just stunned if they're not in the playoff at the end of the year. That's the best team Nebraska's going to see for quite some time. Like, that was a really good football team.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. Greg, what's on your radar here for this week with Nebraska? What are any more commits? Or is Nebraska just at this point making some headway here? What's your temperature?
Yeah, I actually think that Nebraska will still pick up at least another commit or two coming out of this weekend. It's a strange situation where it's hard for people to believe that that score and that the game result is just one part of the equation for commits. I think that people have to remember that. And even with guys like, say, Caden Johnson, who I spoke with earlier, he's not in a rush to make a decision. He's going to take another couple official visits. So if Nebraska can put some distance between, you know, this game result and when he makes a decision, and they can stack up some wins, especially before Wisconsin comes to town, before your next big test later in the season, you could be in a decent position. But I don't want it to say that there are not any guys that that game wouldn't hurt their position with, because guys like Miles Slusher, Jackson Bratton, Ronald Delancey, the guys that you're trying to flip from other programs, that can end up being an uphill battle or more an uphill battle. But I'll continue to monitor those situations. But Nebraska, as you saw today, appears that they are in a very much of a rush to move on to Northwestern and get some more results on film.
I got to ask you this, and I know the recruiting class for last spring and winter was good for receivers. I mean, Nebraska did well with some young kids. But what happened with Nebraska's wide receiver recruiting the last 3 years? Because, I mean, you've got JD, and that's about it, who's been able to find his way onto the field.
Yeah, it's really – that to me is a really kind of perplexing question, because there are receivers that you like that have come in. Like, what's happened with Mike Williams and Jerron Woodyard coming in from the JUCO ranks?
Or McQuitty.
Mystery. Or McQuitty. Like, those are mysteries. Like, and they're all in the same position group where you don't really have an explanation. Like, Troy Walters has said, you know, for the last – it feels like 6 weeks that, you know, those guys are close. I think Frost actually mentioned today that they were going to try to get Woody some more opportunities. I'm calling him Woody because he says that all the time. I follow that.
You do you, brother.
Yeah, so I'm not just so used to hearing him say that. So, you know, so it seems like those guys should be getting opportunities, but they just don't. I think Wandale obviously has been in there, a wide receiver, but has had to go over to play tailback more because of Maurice Washington being in and out of the lineup. But, yeah, what's happened with wide receiver has just been perplexing. And I wonder if it's not something with Troy Walters where he is having a hard time trusting wideouts to get them out on the field, being a former wideout that played at a high level himself, because I just don't have a real good explanation for that one, and he's not given a great answer about it either when asked.
Well, he's talked about trust, and guys got to get open, and nobody's – you know, Adrian's got to be better, but Adrian's not had time, and when he's had time, he's had no one open. So, I mean, it's more than him. So, we'll see. Greg, can't wait to hear what happens this week recruiting-wise. We're going to bother you again at the end of the week for another recruiting hit. Thanks for a few minutes today, man.
Hey, no problem, man. You guys have a good week.
Appreciate it. There he is, Greg Smith. Some cruton. And follow Greg on Twitter, at GregSmithHV. Time for you, before we get to Coach McBride, 466-3776.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Can find us on Twitter, Chris Schmidt, me at Schmidt_radio. Colton Stone, two birds, one stone. Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get caught up with Jeremiah Searles. Mike Leach hates his football team. All of that straight ahead. A reminder about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. You want it to be the seatbelt or the windshield that stops your forward momentum. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury. When your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry, that applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Coach Frost today asked about Adrian. Coach Frost, specific here on what is life like for head coaches and quarterbacks in the state of Nebraska.
I can't believe he needs to be defended. If you know football and watch that game, there's a lot of things that needed to be fixed. It's just the nature of the game that the head coach and quarterback can get all the praise and get all the blame, and I think he knows that. You know, he fought and made some really good plays for us Saturday. He's going to make some credible plays for us going forward, and that's just the ups and downs of the game. Adrian's going to be just fine.
if this was an effort thing or even a question of what gives you the best chance to win, Scott Frost may love Adrian Martinez. Scott Frost may have a special place in his heart for Adrian Martinez because he was his cornerstone recruit.
Right.
Okay. Scott Frost is going to bench somebody if he thinks there's a better option to win the game.
Right.
End the discussion.
Yeah, he's not worried about the feelings of anybody. He's worried about winning games. I mean, he cares.
It comes to a point. Like,
right.
You saw it on the sideline against Illinois. Start running the effing ball.
Yeah.
And there's a response. I am excited to talk to Coach McBride about this, but I am excited that there's going to be some I-formation option football.
Mm-hmm.
The place went nuts. It was great Saturday night. I mean, the place cheered, joyfully cheering. Not cheering because, yay, you got a first down or two. But the place blew up in celebration.
I'm sure Krainak lost his mind, too.
Well, I mean,
wearing his run the ball shirt, you know.
Krainak took his pants off. He was that happy. Right? He's wearing his run the ball shirt, and they're running. Not only are they running the ball, but they're running the ball with option football.
Right.
So kudos to Nebraska for breaking that out. More thoughts on Saturday night with Coach McBride and Jeremiah Searles. Should we take callers 1 through 4 here, Colton?
Sure.
All right, we're going to qualify you for Nebraska Northwestern tickets and the longest drive. When Colton gets your name and info down, we'll see you Friday at 5 down at the Graduate, 9th and P. But callers 1 through 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So we'll get you qualified. 1 through 5 qualifies now for those tickets to Nebraska Northwestern and the longest drive competition. More of your emails coming up. We'll get to those. More of your calls throughout next hour. A little McBride and Searles 1-2 punch to get 5 o'clock going. Their thoughts, reaction, expertise on what happened. Callers 1 through 5 now, 466-3776.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie. Mr. Blackshirt, Coach Charlie McBride. We'll talk about Saturday. We'll talk about next Saturday. We say hi to the Hall of Fame coach. Coach, how you doing?
Good. Doing good. Recuperating.
Yeah. You and the rest of the state, brother. That was a tough one Saturday night, but we've all been through them one way or the other. I got to ask you about, well, first, just tell us, kind of paint the picture. What were you doing during the game?
You know, in reality, I was alone. My wife was visiting with people across the road who are moving and
sure.
leaving, and I was sitting here by myself. And just kind of didn't have anybody to yell at, so I had a very quiet evening. Let's put it that way.
Well, you're just yelling at yourself. That's okay. I gotta get your thoughts. What'd you think? I mean, what's your reaction to Saturday?
Well, There's a couple of things, and I didn't know this exactly, and I never wanted to really say it because until one of my sons said it, that you know, they had heard one of the coaches mention it on television out in Arizona, and one of it was the fact that I think when Scott was introduced, he said that they asked, I think the question was, how do you think you're going to be able to adjust to the Big Ten? And his answer was, they're going to have to adjust to us. And right then, when I heard it, I mean, I was listening, I thought, you know, I go back to the same thing my dad told me when I went off to college. Don't ever say anything you got to take back. And I think that that comment, I think, is kind of in the craw of all of the coaches in the Big Ten. You know, it's not something that isn't. They all know it. They all heard it. And so I think that's a start for them to talk to their players about, you know, what they have to do to prove to him that they're somebody too, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's one of the, you know, as far as I know, that's the only mistake I've ever heard him make. I think everything else, but it was something maybe you don't want to wish you hadn't said. But again, if you look at the players, just look at them. When you got to look at Ohio State, you have to look at all of those Big Ten schools to the east. Iowa's kind of like we are. They got to go around the world to get players. And they're sitting in the most populous part of the country. And it's not hard to recruit. And you wonder why Ohio State doesn't get 12, 15 five stars or whatever they call them, mm-hmm. and the rest four stars, stuff like that. And for everybody else around, you know, Iowa ourselves, sometimes you don't see that kind of thing. So what you have to do there is you have to coach them. You got to make players out of them. You got to make them believe, and you have to go from there. And those are the kind of players when you recruit them, you have to realize that you're gonna get this kid. And you're going to make him, you know, better than he thinks he can be, and that's kind of the key to the thing is developing players. And not that it can't be done; it can be done. I mean, that's not the impossible thing. But I think you got an idea what kind of athletes you're up against.
I think you're right, and you look at Ohio State's talent. We were talking about this last hour. That was the number two recruiting class back in 2017, and those kids are now on the field. I mean, Chase, right. the defensive end, played behind the Boses. You have Okuda, the corner, that made two incredible picks. Their linebacking core is great. Their offensive line's fantastic. Their running game's good. Their quarterback was the number two player in the world, right? And he moved from Georgia to Ohio State. So I'm not making excuses for Nebraska. They just played a hell of a good football team. I mean, they played a really, really, really good
right.
team that can probably win a championship. It's the best team I've seen since that Colorado team came in 1994. That's how good they looked. They looked like one of those Washington teams that you guys did play. Or they're as big and as fast as some of the Miami teams or Florida State teams.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Am I wrong? Is that the level of talent they were taking on?
Yeah, and they may be more physical.
Right. That part.
You know, I think one of the things that you have to, you know, and this is nothing against our kids. It's just, if you notice how athletic their offensive line is, you know, they're not, they're just athletes. They can run. They can all run. They can all, you know, they all, you know, they're just athletic people. And, you know, I said to myself, I said, you know, I kind of laugh. Sometimes I look at teams and I say, you know, that guy'd be a good offensive lineman. The kid is playing maybe linebacker or defensive
right.
end or something like that. You know, you look at him in that manner because of his athletic ability. And I remember Miami, their two top defensive ends who they recruited, who went into the NFL, were both tight ends when they came to Miami, when they went to school there. And they ended up being defensive ends. They had athletic ability, you know, and they put them over there. And that's kind of sometimes what you had. I remember coaching for Frank Cush.
Mm-hmm.
He told us, I was on offense, he told the defense they could have anybody on offense except his quarterback. In other words, you go over there and say, we want this guy, we want that guy, okay, he's over there. And that was this, you know, that was kind of interesting because we didn't have that many players in those days, you know. But, here I was coaching the offensive line, trying to surround my guys, you know, and stuff like that. We would get somebody over there, and we did. We got a kid named John Helton. As John Helton played defensive tackle 1 year, next year he went back and played tight end and defensive end. He played both places, and he, as it ended up, he was the outstanding player, I think, twice in Canada.
Oh, wow.
So he was just one of those guys that, you know, you could put anywhere you want because of his athletic ability. So, that, you know, there's people like that. They're freaks, but there are some. But I think, you know, we're on the right track. I mean, I don't think we're not on the right track. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I think we're definitely on the right track. And I think these kind of games, you know, are embarrassing. Okay? They're embarrassing to everybody in the state. They're embarrassing to me and things like that. But it's those things that drive you. Okay, and those things, and there's going to be a recruit. You're going to wait and see that's going to say, I came because I want to be part of something that's going to be good. And that's the perception I get if I was a recruit. I mean, I get that, you know, I'm not being recruited by this guy or that guy who's maybe in the top 2, 3, 4 in the country, but I want to be on a team that beats them. I want to be on a team that we can, you know, be proud of, and a bunch of guys we can, you know, play together and do it, and you can. And that's kind of, you know, the magical part of it is to try to get players that feel that way.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, what do you think of the power run game and a little option football?
I'll tell you what, I don't know. You know, I think we did both, and I thought it was an advantage. The thing about option football is that if you run a regular offense, and I'm kind of saying that we ran a regular, we were talking about power offense is what we were saying, but a running game offense, let's put it that way, and you're successful, you throw the option in it, and what does the option do? The option forces you that you can't disguise your coverages. You can't get too far out of where you're supposed to be. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And so, therefore, when we're just running a running game type of thing, sometimes you can disguise your coverages, and you can put your people, you know, if they did run an option, they'd be in trouble. Let's just put it that way.
Sure.
I mean, it's, you know, it'd be not good. But the option and them combined is really something that's really hard to do, and you can lean on it on the running game in the weather, and we all of us in the Big Ten now have going to have some they're going to have some weather come up now, and it's going to be you're going to have to be able to run the football sometimes, but. Having the ability to have a power offense type of thing and to be able to have complete plays, I know we're running some trap, and that's probably as good an inside running play as we've had, you know, and that kind of thing. And you can develop that stuff even if people know you're running it, if you block it better than they can play it. Okay, and those are the kind of things that you do. You get kids believing in themselves. And you put in a power off tackle, you put in this and that, and a few tricks off of it. An ISO. Mm-hmm. Just look at what some of the teams are doing. They're just lining up and running a straight ISO at you. Not us, but everybody's
sure.
doing it.
Coach, a thought
you know,
on...
They're getting a big fat guy in there and let him lead the way and, you know, pull a guard around, and they got two of them in the hole now, and, you know, for short yardage and stuff. So... You know, that stuff's all going to come around, and I think you can fit that into your offense. You don't have to break so much far away from your philosophy, really. You know, you can still spread them out. You can spread them out and, you know, move people back into position and run the thing on quick snaps and things like that so people don't get adjusted as quick as they'd like to and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just something you have to look at film and decide what you want to do. I think you can't do everything.
Sure.
So you got to do what you think your players are able to do.
Well, it was, I mean, the crowd loved it, and it was successful, and we'll see if it sticks around. Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, a couple minutes here. What's your thought on Adrian Martinez? He's been getting some criticism, too. How big is Saturday with Northwestern?
Yeah, well, the thing is with him, he's trying too hard.
Yeah.
You know, he just got to go have fun. And you know, he's got to smile once in a while, and he's got to giggle and, you know, do some things and relax and have fun. You know, go out there, you know, and he sometimes I think he just doesn't want to hurt the team. You know, and he gets caught in the middle of it. And I don't know if I can feel it by seeing enough kids play.
Yeah.
And but as far as what he can do it. I mean, he can. He'll get used to it. I mean, he'll figure it out himself. He doesn't need a whole lot of people, you know, banging on him. I think that, you know, what you have to do is to have faith in him. I have faith in him. I mean, this kid's got a chance to be as good as there is in the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at some of the things, just a few of the things he did, and it wasn't far from what that quarterback did at Ohio State. I mean, you know, I think he's got more abilities in different directions. That guy bounces back and throws the ball, or he runs with it. Mm-hmm. You know, this kid's an option guy. He can throw it. He can drop back. He can do all of those things. And I think that's really a plus because he's adaptable to a lot of different kind of offenses.
Northwestern, what do you think of Fitz and company?
Pardon?
What do you think of Fitzgerald and company, Northwestern Saturday?
Well, I don't know. I tried to recruit him. He told me no.
That's his
I'm
fault.
I'm mad at him. You know, we tried to get him out to Nebraska, but he's going to stay home.
Yeah.
They'll be one of the best coach teams that they'll play. You know, they're defensively, they've got guys that are solid coaches. And it's just, you know, if you look at them, they don't make mistakes. And as you could see, they come back.
Mm-hmm. They played Wisconsin well, yeah.
So with a team like that, you got to get to a fast start and you got to keep the pressure on them. And that's the way you beat them. Otherwise, they get toward the end of the game and they start figuring things out. And they're really good coaches at doing that kind of thing. And that's why they've been successful, because they've been able to make those adjustments with your defense and defensive alignments.
Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, can't wait to talk to you next Monday. Thanks for jumping on with us today.
You wait and see. We're going to do it this weekend.
All right. There we go. We got a guarantee from the black shirt himself. I like it.
Okay.
Coach, you take care.
I'll be here. Thanks for having me.
See ya.
Talk to you next week.
There
Bye
he is.
Now.
Take care. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. I can hear his voice off of the lake up there in Michigan. I can hear it watching a game with him. I was just watching by myself. Yeah, that's pretty good. Jeremiah Searles coming up. More of your thoughts and calls as well. Reminder about your friends at West Blue Realty. How about Kelly Hofschneider? How about Tom Luby? Real estate professionals at West Blue. They specialize in residential home sales in Lincoln surrounding areas. You mentioned Hale Varsity. You get up to $1,000 on the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby, give him a shout at 402-540-3768 or Kelly Hofschneider, 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue, westbluerealty.com, 1120 K Street, Suite 200 in Lincoln.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes, that's awesome.
That's good stuff from Coach McBride. The podcast will be up, halevarsity.com, also iTunes. Someday we'll get to Pandora or Spotify. We got to figure that crap out. We say hi to Media Mogul is what I'm going to dub him. He's also our favorite NFL player. Husker standout on the offensive line. You follow him on Twitter at Searles71 underscore HSKR. Jeremiah Searles back with us. Searles, how you doing, man? It was a good Saturday when we last talked. It wasn't so much around 11 o'clock after Nebraska got whacked pretty good by, I think, honestly, man, as good a team as I have seen since the 94 Buffs. What's kind of your response to Saturday night? Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with you. That's probably the best team in my, call it 11 years that I've spent from 2009 here through the 2020 season that'll be at the end of this year. That's probably the best team, maybe next to the Oklahoma team that came in 2009, that I've seen in Memorial Stadium. I mean, that was a really good football team. I've been calling them the NFL farm team from when I looked at them because you can just, from top to bottom, you're like, yeah, he could play in the NFL. Like, that's probably a top three pick in Chase Young. And then that quarterback's another first-round pick that had the first. I mean, just from top to bottom, you're like, okay. And so, yeah, it shows where they're at as a program. It shows where we're at as a program. And we got a long way to go. But looking back and doing some research, they haven't had more than three losing seasons since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Ohio State, they are who they are, and we are who we want. They are who we want to be, so it's a good benchmark for us. It wasn't how we wanted it to be at all, but at the end of the day, all of us talked about that was a possibility.
If you're honest, like, the way that Nebraska hung in here, and this isn't disrespect to staff or players, it's just reality with how loaded and talented they are. I mean, for Nebraska to be in that game, the game needed to start the way it started for Nebraska. It needed to start that way for Ohio State. You needed help Saturday night, and they were locked in. And you know what else? Ohio State was sick and tired of hearing about how they always stub their toe against someone from the West that's not even in their area code. And they had a point to prove, and they proved it Saturday.
Absolutely. We talked about on the pre-show that, I mean, they want to be the bully in the Big Ten because they want to be the Big Ten representative in the college football playoff. And you saw it a little bit. I wanted to touch on the fact that 38 seconds left and they're on the 50-yard line and they're trying to punch a touchdown in. And I'm sitting up in the box going, these a-holes, dude. Just like, what are we doing? But then at the end of the day, I took a step back and I was like, you know what? That's a new head coach setting a precedent, national television, on the game day, biggest stage of college football, saying we are here to play and we're not here to, oh, well, we're going to take it easy because we're up 38 points. We're putting our foot on your throat because that's the message they wanted to send to the nation. And I mean, I think that they're a playoff caliber team, no matter which way you look at it. It's just going to depend. Can they do that consistently the rest of the way out?
Searles, you've reviewed film. I know you've got Just My Opinion coming up on Monday. You're about 30 minutes away. You and Danny Woodhead will get rolling. You'll also have a show Friday in the Rail Yard. You'll be kind enough to stop by and hang with us as well. But I need to know what your film study takeaways were. And on the offensive line, where can the team get better? And what's correctable is the best question to ask.
Yeah, I think what's correctable is a lot of the fact that we aren't far off. We were just overmatched on Saturday. We did some really good things up front. I mean, we had some good run plays. I love the fact we got in the I formation, the wing T formation, which Stipple didn't know what to call in the press comms today, which I thought was hilarious. And, I mean, we did some good things in that regard, but the things we got to clean up is our pass protection was very poor. And that was across the board. And they blitzed the hell out of Adrian. They did. They were like, you know what? If that kid's going to sit back there, we're going to come after him. And they did. I mean, I was watching the game back, and I was like, man, slot pressure, boundary pressure, safety pressure, slot pressure. I mean, they were going to come after him and make him uncomfortable, and it worked. I mean, one thing you can't do is let a quarterback get hit early on. And that's the correctable stuff, is just picking those things up so that Adrian's comfortable early in the game will pay huge dividends for us in the long run because he is our guy. I am 100% over everyone saying, pull Adrian, pull Adrian, pull Adrian. We're in a rebuilding phase. We're in a rebuilding phase. Yes, we wanted it to be great. We wanted to be back, but we're not there yet. We are still rebuilding, and we're rebuilding on the back of Adrian, on the backs of guys like Cam Jurgens, who are going to go through struggles as young guys, but at the end of the day, there are guys that we want to put a foundation on for this program for 10 years to come.
Does it tick you off when you hear people screaming for Adrian's head and Frost's head?
I get it. Like, I understand, but what did they expect? Like, what did you expect? He made his first rebuild look so easy that everyone thought that that's what he was going to do. Well, hello, that wasn't in a Power 5 conference where you're playing against the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Wisconsins. And he's playing against Louisiana Monroe, and I mean, nothing against those football teams, but they're just not the caliber of talent you're going to see week in and week out like you are down at UCF. And so, I mean, I fully expected them, hey, they gave him a six-year contract. That means by year six, you better have something figured out, not by year two. Yes, well, we want them to be more competitive. Yes, we want them to be there, but because what we want isn't necessarily a reality yet.
Searles, you've experienced tough losses. How do you anticipate this team responding? How do they respond? And you've got the mother of all thorns in your side coming in on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge game. This is a Northwestern team that doesn't back down from anyone, even though I'd say 9 out of 10 times they trot out onto the field, they're going to be outmatched athletically. This is a coach that coaches a team very well. They know how to play well together. And guess what? They've had Nebraska's number a little bit, even since when I was in school. I remember the first time Northwestern came down, Kane Coulter looked like freaking Reggie Bush out there and ran all over us. Then we go up there next year, have to come back from 11 points in the fourth quarter to win. Then my senior year, I almost die at the bottom of a dog pile because of a Hail Mary. So, I mean, this is no slap coming in, and this team has to find a way to respond because this is the first time that they're going to have adversity hit. It's not. I mean, that's just football, but this is a big adversity jump. This is where you're going to see, does this team band together, or is there a little bit of angst in between the team? And I think from being around these kids, they're going to band together, and we're going to see a really good performance out of them on Saturday.
You're a guy that was part of the zone read era with Amir, and you had Team Magic. But do you have a little option football love in that big heart of yours?
Are you kidding me? I almost jumped off the roof of West Stadium when I saw that. I was so excited. I was like, okay, that's because we talked about it on the pregame show. We're like, what little wrinkle is Scott going to have for them? something? You called it. You said, and I said, I think you're right. And so they come out and line up under center, and you can almost hear the entire stadium hold their breath in excitement. It's like a little hyperventilates. Uh-huh. There's probably someone that like need a little oxygen up on the 210th row. And I love it. I think it's great. I want to see more of it. It was working. Yes, teams have it on tape now, so they have to practice for it. But I think that you should see more of it. I thought Dedrick Mills did a really nice job in that little semi-fullback role that he assumed. And then, I mean, you got guys like Wandale and Mo Washington, if you can stay healthy, that are home run hitters, and option football always seems to buy you a hat. So I loved it. I was all in when I saw that. I want to see more of it.
Well, and with Adrian, too, I mean, he's a guy that ran it very well. And if he's not seeing ghosts or under duress, and I was watching his, you know, his 56-yard run. That guy should. That was a straight scramble, and he should have been tackled in the backfield for a loss, and he found a way out of it. I think he's a special quarterback, and he just needs to settle down, and he needs help. And it's a team game, Searles. I mean, so it's not all Adrian's great, and the other 10 guys suck. That's not it at all. I mean, it's all about the 11 working together. But I'm just, I would like to see him with a full complement of weapons, and he has some guys that are good, but it's not been clicking on all cylinders as much as it should be, and that's guys aren't getting open, guys aren't making blocks, guys aren't running, and then part of that is Adrian's pressing as well.
Yeah, and you had Scott kind of in a very nice way protect Adrian, but also kind of call some guys out in his press conference today, because a lot of people have been calling for Adrian's head. You're right. And so for him to say things like, we do great things, we do it as a team, we do bad things, we do it as a team, when he says things like, we need to clean up our protection so Adrian's not worried about a free runner where the rush is coming from, we need to clean up our snaps so he's not worried about that, and we need to make sure wide receivers are in the right position, that's putting the O-line, the center, and the wide receivers on notice, like, hey, guys, we need more from you. That's what that was. That was a very nice way of not calling you out, saying, oh, you're doing bad. That's Scott's way of challenging those three positions.
hey, we need more from you guys in order to help our quarterback. I talked a bit on Tommy Armstrong on the show in the Haymarket last week of what a bad snap does to a quarterback. And the thing that really stood out to me when he said that, he goes, if you have a bad snap on a pass play, your first read is gone. He goes, it's gone. You have to immediately go to number two to run, or number two to three to run. He goes, your first read, because you're not looking at the defense, you're looking at the ball, so you can't say, okay, is my first read there, and chuck it out right away. And so I think a lot of that has to do with some of the snaps. All his snaps are high right because he's breaking his wrist when he snaps the ball. If you vision like a pendulum swinging, you want your wrist to stay straight as it just comes back. He's turning his thumb as he does it. The only reason I know that is because that was my problem when I played center. So I know what it does when it goes high right. It's hard. It's an incredibly hard thing to do when you got a 330-pound man across me that wants to beat the crap out of you. So it's a tough thing to do, but he's a young kid. I believe in him, and so I want to build that on Jurgen. But I agree. He needs the complement of weapons, and he needs other guys to elevate his game because I think he needs a little picking up right now.
Searles, I've got 60 seconds. Your Buffalo Bills were so close against Brady and company yesterday, man.
I know, man. Hurts my heart. Josh Allen, I hope he's all right. I saw him in text, and he said he was doing okay. So that was tough. But, I mean, they're going to be salty, man. That Bills defense is real. They are the real deal. So if our offense can if their offense can get clicking again up there, they're going to be
still
really,
your
really
offense. They're still your offense.
I know. I feel like the Husker fan is like, we need to run the ball. It's like, they. But so they're going to be really good. I think the Bills have a really good chance. Josh Allen's going to come back. Frank Gore's the ageless wonder, just out there just ripping off 50-yarders, looking like he's going to fall over afterwards. But they're going to be good this year.
Searles, one more time, 20 seconds. Folks can hear you at 6. Where?
Hey, my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/jsearles71. The link is on all my socials. Just got done chatting with Danny. We're excited. It's going to be a really good show tonight.
Can't wait for it. Jeremiah Searles, Just My Opinion. T-shirts and great
wear
shows.
Them.
Yeah, do it. I got to get one. Searles, we'll talk. Thanks, brother.
Absolutely. See you guys.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
That was awesome stuff from Searles and Coach McBride. Mondays with Charlie, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time the next 20 minutes. We had great conversations about Saturday night, moving forward, and the reality that Nebraska is not above an ass kicking. 466-377-6800-825-5865. A guy that believes in corporal punishment is my friend and your favorite, the pirate, Mike Leach.
Probably smart not to call him again this week.
Dude, he's screaming at his kids because they need to toughen up. And so let's start with the lowercase part of how he hates his football team. Not everybody, but some. And this is Coach Leach on being soft. Can we hear that?
The first one here?
Yeah, let's hear about the pirate talking about softness.
Well, we're a very soft team, you know. We get a lot of good press. We like to read it a lot. We like to pat ourselves on the back. You know, and if we get any resistance, we fold. And what's amazing about this is most of these guys were on the same team last year that was a tough team. Last year's team was a tough team for us. We got nearly the same guys, and now all of a sudden they're not tough. You know, they're fat, dumb, and happy and entitled. So
I'll say this, man, and I love my father so much. And there's like a point where that in my upbringing, and I totally deserved it, there was a point where belittlement factored in. It wasn't like, I'm going to spank you or you're grounded from your car. Mm-hmm. What cut to the bone of things and cut to the chase is getting called out because you deserve it. And then a little belittlement. And I know that might some people might be offended because he's name-calling. You know, grow up. And I know he's supposed to be the adult in the room. Mm-hmm. But it's his program. He's in charge. And he thinks if you're fat, dumb, and entitled, he's the same guy who went fat little girlfriends. Leach is going to do his thing. He is frontier tough. Cody Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And you're going to play for him. And he's going to tell you good job when it's good. And he's not going to over tell you good job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to live with it. And guess what? Leach loses his mind on his team 3 times a year. He will.
Yeah.
And they respond or you move.
Yeah. And I know I've said it before. I appreciate coaches that just kind of, here it is. Like, I'd rather you just give it to me straight than give a bunch
same
of fluff.
Style of coach as Scott Frost. Frost isn't a name caller.
Yeah, you can obviously take that very out of context too. But based on the performance of how they played, you put that into context.
They've lost 2 in a row. They blew a 32-point lead to UCLA.
Mm-hmm. And then, good football team, probably.
No, well, I mean, they could have, should have, would have beat Arizona, but
yeah,
UCLA is a 1-win football team.
Exactly.
And then you go play Utah, who you've beaten 4 games in a row, or four years in a row. More from the Pirate here. And he was asked, you know, is it leadership that's the problem this year?
I don't know if it's that. I think it's more individual than that. I think we've got a bunch of free agents running around there that think they're pretty special. And then, you know, as soon as something doesn't go their way, they want to pout. So I think it's more collectively soft. I really think that over the off season, despite the fact we had incredibly hard work and we did work hard in the off season and we worked hard in camp, then I think we get to the season and I think some collection of sitting around the apartments all the time talking about how great we're going to be, eventually it evolves to how easy it's going to be, and then as soon as we face resistance, I mean. Yeah, we don't even fight it. Yeah, we didn't fight it today.
Free. He hates his skill kids. The fast guys that are awesome for his air raid pass offense. We got a bunch of free agents who think they're pretty special. No, there should be a resistance part of this thing. Le resistance. Pirate, you know. This is kind of the final insult. It's pretty good.
A pretty tough football team play a very soft football team. And, you know, and it's difficult to say how tough Utah is because they had token resistance on both sides of the ball for us.
If he's going this gangster in postgame, God, I want to see the YouTube of him in the locker room. Like, this may be rivaled what he did to his Texas Tech team after they got beat by Baylor.
I mean, is this like an Augie Garrido moment in the locker room? Where
it might be for the year. It might, yeah, right? I failed you moment by Augie.
Yeah.
Where
the expletive filled.
Oh, like it was.
And then they won like 11 games straight and won the Big 12.
Then they went to the CWA. I think they won the championship that
year. Yeah, I think that was 05. So,
but yeah, I mean, he is gone after his Bible study group when he was at Texas Tech. And coaches talked about riding a bike to Bible study, so it's not like he's anti-religion or non-Bible study, but he calls them the God Squad. He's like, you God Squad guys, what are you doing? And this was the we'll have to download this and play it for you at some point. We'll just get him on next week and just say the art of losing it on your team. I mean, that'd be a great conversation. Most of the time we talk about really cool stuff. But for him to be a dictator is really cool.
And I think
he knows how to get guys to play for him.
Yeah, and I think it was Gary Barnett last week kind of hit on that a little bit. You have to know
when to pull that pin.
Yeah, because you don't want it to be a situation where, you know, you're in game 5, game 6, and that just derails the morale in the locker room. But at the same time, you don't want 2 losses in a row to turn into 4 losses in a row to turn into how are we a 4-8 football team.
He's never, you know what? He's never, ever like lost his team.
No, I'm not, and I'm not saying he has.
No, I'm saying like you look at his track record. I mean, he got fired before he lost his team at Tech.
Right.
You know, the old storage electrical closet thing. But that was a setup.
Yeah.
It was. By a PR firm. So the Pirates in rare form. That was about as good as there was this weekend, sound wise. Let's spend a second here on the NFL. But after Dabo, what do you think of Dabo and Clemson? Because my eyes tell me this: the best team in the country. We'll hear Dabo here on the other side. But Ohio State, this is recency bias, but this is what I saw with my own two eyes: best defense and offense. And ballers in college football. Bama's money. And I think Clemson's struggling, clearly, like Nebraska is, with different weapons around a guy. I mean, it's, and Oklahoma's damn good. They are great with Hurts. We'll wind down to Monday next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right. So Bert emails in. O-line and linebackers better get their bleep together for Nebraska, or it's 4-8 again. Don't disagree that the O-line and the linebackers got to be better. Ted emails in, Chris at HailVarsity.com. I don't think we were being outclassed rather than saying embarrassed. We saw what happens when a team playing with players averaging 3.0 stars meets a team playing with players averaging 4.5 stars. This from Ted. We need more dudes, particularly on both lines. Agree with that. Ken emails in, why are we crowning Ohio State? Why are we bumping Ohio State on such a high pedestal after beating a 500 Nebraska team? They have a lot of talent, like every year, but let's not crown them number one. They'll earn it if it's real. Okay. I see their quarterback, I see their lines of scrimmage, I see their skill guys, I see their defensive playmakers, and as good as Bama is, they don't have a guy like Chase. Mm-hmm. They might have a few, but I mean, not at the caliber
right.
of Chase.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those teams, Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, have played in an environment like Nebraska.
Mm-mm.
I mean, listen, I know Clemson just barely survived against Carolina, but that place was half full at a noon kickoff. Oklahoma's unbeaten. Who have they beaten and where have they won? Now, I'm not saying Oklahoma wouldn't come in here and go 48-7. I'm not saying Clemson would. I'm not saying Alabama would. I'm saying from a venue standpoint, at 6:30, Memorial Stadium in Lincoln is not a great place to go try and go get a road win. And listen, Nebraska's not awesome. They're not great. They're probably bowl eligible, and or maybe they get it put together starting this week,
mm-hmm.
and they improve each week, right? Maybe they're 7-5. Maybe they're an 8-win team. Maybe they still get to 9. Maybe they're fighting to go 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's on the table.
Yeah, and my reaction to like
this isn't just recency going, oh, Ohio State's great because they killed Nebraska on the
right.
road. No, Ohio State's great because they have freaking ball players everywhere.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like it's not like this instant reaction of like, well, this must be the best team. Alabama really hasn't played anybody tough. I mean, they've been tough, but the team they played has not been. Clemson, we've seen their struggles early on. Oklahoma, again, hasn't really played anybody. Georgia struggled with a, I would say, a good Notre Dame team.
Georgia's got the best win in college football right now.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
And then LSU is somewhere
LSU's probably got,
there.
Yeah, LSU.
The win over Texas.
I'd say Notre Dame's better than Texas.
I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, LSU's got a great win. I want to say many, 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 many thanks to Julie Gotti. Julie Gotti is general manager of Alpha Media. Julie Gotti has been just a phenomenal person to work with and work for. Julie Gotti's retiring, and she's crushing a cocktail right now at Misty's. Julie Gotti's phenomenal. And many, many years of retirement happiness to you, Julie Gotti. You are awesome. You're so, so gifted. I want those bogeys to turn into pars and those pars to turn into birdies. Enjoy retirement. Julie, you're phenomenal. Can't thank you enough for everything. We're back tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.